الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم and welcome to The Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding your faith that you practice. While teaching you about the Islamic faith, I also want to encourage you to change your life and start doing what is right and forbidding what is wrong, even if you have a faith or you don't have a faith. I'm not assuming that you're not doing right. I'm just encouraging myself and those who are in my class, which I like to call my students in this Islamic studies class. I like to encourage you to encourage yourself, encourage other people to do what is right and forbid what is wrong. And maybe together we can change the world for the better. So far, this class has covered such topics or answered the following questions. What are the principles of Islam? How does Islam view women? What does Islam say about justice or standing against injustice? Are Muslim terrorists? What does Islam say about racism? How can Islam help to improve the world? Also, encouraging people to help those in need, as I had done earlier. We talked about in our class the subject of mercy and forgiveness. The minor signs that the day of judgment is drawing near. We also discussed the character of a Muslim. We discussed a very interesting topic, which was polygyny, which is a man having more than one wife. And in Islam, a Muslim man can have more than one wife. He can have four wives, but it is better for him to have one if he can't do well by them and treat them all well, or can afford to financially afford to take care of them. Because the primary person to take care of the household is the husband. The woman can have her money, and her money is her money, and she can put it in a separate bank account and keep it for herself and spend it on herself or spend it whatever way she wants to spend it. But the man, his responsibility and the money that he makes, he have a responsibility to his wife and his children, his household, to take care of them. He clothes them as he clothes himself, and also he feeds them as he feeds himself. That is his responsibility to take care of the family, because the men are the maintainers and protectors of the women, of the family, and we provide them from our means. Also, we discuss what happened to nations before us who disobeyed Allah and his messenger, the ill effects of sin, and many more. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic study class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper and pencil for taking notes, because you know this is a class, and so you have to be prepared for your class. Meaning you have to have pen and paper, and of course have your book. The main book that we use for this class is Quran. Quran is the last revelation sent to mankind from Allah. He sent down the Torah, he sent down the Bible, also sent down Quran to mankind to guide them, to be a guidebook for mankind. And the last book that he sent to mankind was the Quran, to provide them with the guidance that they need in order to lead themselves back to Allah. And he also sent, as I said in the past, he sent prophets. He sent from Adam to Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon them all, He sent prophets to the people to encourage them to do what is right and forbid what is wrong. Because we as human beings, we are on the path for a while, and then later on we drift away from the path. And so the prophets and messengers, they come and they inform us of how to get back on the path, and the methodology in which to get back on the path. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who those new listeners are new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topics or class subjects will be greed, or being greedy, and also miserliness. These two particular topics, they sort of overlap, and in some ways the definitions are the same. For example, greed is having a strong desire for something such as food, drink, property, etc. Being a miser, acting miserly, is as a person who deprives oneself of, or he deprives himself of all but the bare essentials in order to hoard money, or one who is greedy. So a person who is a miser, they don't spend a lot, they hoard money, they hoard whatever money or food, whatever it is for themselves. They do very little sharing, or they're just greedy people. They just keep and want. Now, greed is so pervasive that a whole TV show was created around greed called American Greed. And maybe some of you all who are in this class, maybe you've seen a show that comes on television called American Greed. And basically the show, it takes a survey, as far as what people would do to become rich, no matter the cost to themselves and those around them. It's like it has real life cases are reviewed and involve such criminal activity as credit cards scams, identity theft, counterfeiting, college admission scandal, pyramid or Ponzi schemes, etc. You all are familiar with this show, I believe, so you know what I'm talking about, so I don't have to go into any more details about this American Greed, where you can do episode after episode after episode on different examples of how people are greedy in America. That's just America, but those who are listening to me on the internet all over the world, you have the same thing in your country, or you may have the same thing in your country. I travel a lot. I watch the news and different from either on cable or wherever I'm traveling. I watch the news where I'm traveling overseas or whatever, and then I just hear so much. So it's like I'm back in America. I hear so many things about someone being greedy, a politician being greedy, and then a private citizen being greedy and hoarding something or cheating people out of something. And I can, for the most part, just shake my head and make what we call dua, a supplication to Allah, and ask Allah to change the hearts of the people, and or some kind of way I can change the hearts of the people so that they will be less greedy and be less harmful to other people. Because when someone is greedy or miserly, they hurt other people. Yes, you gain being greedy, but you hurt so many people, and a lot of times it may even be people that you love, or at least you say you love. Greed is also highlighted in the rich getting richer while the poor getting poorer, and we all heard this particular phrase before. Low-income people paying taxes while the rich not paying taxes but being supported by tax dollars. So I know we all are in some kind of way familiar with what I'm just talking about, and maybe you may also have other examples other than what I just said about people, or example of people being greedy or being miserly, or the rich doing things to the poor, and the poor always being trampled on, or their neck, or they got the foot on their neck, and telling them, give up what you have so that I can enrich myself, being the rich person, and you will become more poor and you will like it. Also, we have a situation where companies that may not be paying taxes go deep into debts because they because they're not doing the right things in terms of business and business-wise, and being bailed out by tax dollars because they are too big to fail. We heard this maybe years ago, is that yes, we had to bail out this company or that company because they're too big to fail. And then I know with one situation where American taxpayer bailed out a company, and then the company went and it had that sort of like a party with some of the money, or they had a hotel spending all the money on lavish food and cars and hotel rooms and that kind of thing, but they said that we need you to help us, but yet and still the money that we gave to you, even the first half of the money we gave to you, you went out and you just squandered it. You just spent it all kinds of ways, the taxpayers' money. I'm not sure if we gave the other half to them or not, but I would be very surprised if we didn't give them the other half of the money, although they squandered the money that we initially gave to them, and they said, we need help, we give you help, but then you go out and spend the money in an inappropriate way. Now let's take a look at how the Islamic faith view greed and miserliness. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, every day two angels come down from heaven, and one of them says, O Allah, compensate every person who spends in your cause. And the other angel says, O Allah, destroy every miser. So we see from this, from those of you who are greedy, those who are miserly, this is what the angels are praying for. Those who give, for example, those who are nice, those who are kind, those who help those who are in need. And then the angels pray for the person, say, compensate every person who spends in your cause, spends in the cause of Allah, helping other people, those in need. He said, compensate them, bless these people, bless their money. But then those who hoard their money, those who are greedy, it said, destroy every miser. And so which one do you want to be? Do you want to be the person that Allah is blessing your wealth, blessing your money? Or do you want to be the person that Allah, that you're being prayed for you, or prayed against you to destroy you because you are a miser or you are greedy? Which person do you want to be? It is up to you. Keep in mind, and you all heard this probably before, if you give someone one mountain of gold, they will not be satisfied. They will want two mountains of gold. And of course, you give them two mountains, they will want three. And if you give them three mountains, they will want four, all the way to the end. It's just some people you just can't satisfy. Oh, give me this, and this, I won't ask for anything else. Then you give it to them, then they ask for something else. But I thought you said you're not going to ask for anything else. But I needed to make up excuses or whatever, and then they want more, and they want more, and they want more, and they are never satisfied. It's like you're giving them food, and they have a stomach with no bottom to it. They want to eat, and eat, and eat, and eat, and eat, instead of maybe sharing some of the food. Or not being so greedy because all that food is there, I got to eat it because it's there. I don't care about anyone else. I know I just got to eat it because it's there. Now, at this point, I want you to bring out your Quran, and you're going to turn to the 102nd verse. That's in your Quran. We're going to read that whole verse, the whole chapter, that's 100. And two and second chapter. So are we ready? Hopefully you have your Quran open and you at chapter 102. And it says, and as I always tell you, it may vary the translation from one book to the next book. Sometimes Arabic, that when it translates into Spanish and English and French and other languages, is that sometimes because Arabic gets lost in translation, or it depends on who's translating it, they may use different terminology, different wording. So I'm going to go with the wording from the translation that I have, and that is, again, that's chapter 102, and it says, a mutual rivalry, meaning for piling up on worldly things diverts you until you visit the graves, meaning till you die. Nay, if you knew with assured knowledge the end result of piling up, you would not have been occupied yourselves in worldly things. Verily, you shall see the blazing fire, and again, you shall see it certainly of sight. Then, on that day, you shall be asked about the delights you indulge in this world. And so, this particular verse, it is encouraging us not to pile up wealth. Not to get wealth and just pile it up and pile up and pile it and pile it up, and that's all that we do. We may not even spend anything from it or spend very little from it or don't help other people with it. And we will be asked on the day of judgment or when we go before our Lord and be asked, what do you do with the wealth that I granted you? It's a several things that we're going to be asked about on the day of judgment. And one is our health and what we did with it, our youth, what we did with it, and our wealth. What did we do with it? Those three things we're going to ask about. I need all of us to be aware is that don't let your youth pass you by. Don't let your wealth pass you by. Don't let time pass you by. Don't let health pass you by. Use it wisely, particularly helping other people. Because on the day of judgment, you want to be in a good way before your Lord and not in the bad way before our Lord. And we don't want to be amongst the people who pile up wealth and then we can't even take it with us. We can't do anything. When we go to our grave, three things go with us to our grave. And I mentioned this to you before. Our wealth, our family, and our deeds go with us to the grave. After we put into that ground, and the dirt is put upon us. Our wealth and our family walk away from the grave. But what goes into the grave with us is our deeds. So we need to do as many good deeds as possible. Because that's going to be our sort of our coin and our bargaining chip, if you will, in the next life. Our wealth will mean nothing because it will not be with us. Our property, our businesses, and the things that we have, it will not mean a thing. The family that we have will not mean a thing. It's what good have you done in this world. Your deeds will shine for you and will speak for you on a day of judgment. And the deeds are the things that are going to our grave with us. And so I'll keep that in mind. Yes, you have a nice car. You can't take it with you. Unless you have a fat bank account, you can't take it with you. Yes, you have a beautiful family, a large family. You can't take them with you. But your deeds that you do, you are certainly going to take them with you. And those deeds that you've done in this world, they could be for you or they could be against you. Now, one of the Sahaba, one of the companions of the Prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, he was very concerned about being greedy. And let me tell you the length in which he went to not be greedy. And so his name was Hakim. And he said, I asked the messenger of Allah, or Allah's apostle, for something, and he gave me. I asked him again, and he gave me, and said, O Hakim, this wealth is green and sweet, meaning tempting as fruits. And whoever takes it without greed, then he is blessed in it. And whoever takes it with greediness, he is not blessed in it. And he is like one who eats and never gets satisfied. The upper hand is better than the lower hand, meaning the one who is given is better than the one who is taken. Hakim added, I said, O Allah's apostle, by him who has sent you with the truth, I will never demand anything from anybody after you until I die. Afterwards, Abu Bakr, meaning one of the Prophet's companions, he used to call Hakim to give him something, but he refused to accept anything from him. Umar, meaning another one of the Prophet's companions, he called him to give him something, but he refused. Then Umar said, O Muslims, I have offered to Hakim his share, which Allah has ordained for him from the booty, meaning the spoils of war. And he refuses to take it. Thus Hakim did not ask anybody for anything after the prophet until he died. May Allah bestow his mercy upon him. And so this man, he said, no, he said he got the heads up. The prophet said, you know, basically, you know, don't be greedy. And the man said, no, okay, I am not going to be greedy. I'm going to do all that I can until I die not to be greedy. And so when people gave him things or wanted to give him things, he refused to take it. He said no, for fear that he was going to be one of the ones that was going to be greedy. And so that's what he did. That was his practice and that was his habit to keep from being greedy. We need to form some habits ourselves to be the best selves that we can be, the best person that we can be, and read our religious books and see what our religious books tell us to do. And then guess what? Let's do it. Our books tell us to go right, we go right. Our books tell us to go right, and then we go left, we go on to get our book. Our books tell us to go up, we go up. We don't go down, because our books tell us not to go down. And so I just want to encourage those who are not Muslims or in this class, do at least do what your book says. Or maybe even investigate more about Islam and find out more about what Islam tells the Muslims to do. And maybe you may like what Islam tells a Muslim to do and what it tells a Muslim not to do. And you may want to embrace Islam. That is up to you. I am not here to make anyone become Muslim. I am only telling everyone about what Islam is and what a Muslim does and mandated for a Muslim to do, and what Islam is and what Islam is not. Let me continue on. Also it's said by another one of the companions of the prophet, he said, Allah's messenger, may peace and blessing be upon him, said, the believers in the world are of three classes, those who believe in Allah and his messenger and do not doubt, but strive with their property and their person in Allah's cause. The man whom people trust with their property, their person, and the man who, when he is about to display greed, abandons it for the sake of Allah, who is great and glorious. So it says about the three types of people, the ones who believe in Allah, his messenger, and of course, the one that people trust with his property and their person, that they can trust this person not going to hurt them, and also the one that can about to display greed, but he or she abandons it. Let's all of us be all three of those people, or at least one of those people. Meaning we believe in Allah, believe in God as a man, his messenger, and that people can trust us, and that when it comes, when we get an opportunity to be greedy or be miserly, that we abandon it. And for the sake of Allah, for the sake of God. Now also, there are basically what we call some destruction to being greedy. Let me read it and let me say it in this manner. One of the prophet's companion, he said, the prophet, may peace and blessing, me and peace and blessing of Allah, said, two hungry wolves are let loose, meaning two hungry wolves are let loose among sheep, are no more destructive to them than a man's greed for property and fame or to his religion. And so basically it's saying here is that just, you know, wolves, they eat sheep. And so throwing them in the middle of sheep, they devouring them, devouring and eating up the sheep, it is no more destructive than a man being greedy for property and fame. And we know there's a lot of people, men and women, that are out there that are greedy for property and fame. And this is destructive to their religion. Those who say they are religious people or those who are not religious people, this is destructive to you too. So be careful of that and not seeking to be greedy for property and money and the like, or seeking fame so that people can praise you and say, ah, this is the best person that I ever known. I'm going to read a couple more things and then we're going to stop, which is, the prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, he said that, I asked the prophet for some money and he gave me. And then again I asked him and he gave me. And then again I asked him and he gave me. And he then said, this wealth is like a green fruit. And whoever takes it without greed, Allah bless it for him. Whoever takes it with greed, Allah will not bless it, or bless him. And he will be like the one who eats but is not satisfied. And the upper hand is greater than the lower hand. I wanted to repeat this again because maybe I want to make sure that you caught this. The importance of not being greedy, and that the upper hand, the giving hand, is better than the one, the lower hand, the one that is asking and always begging all the time. So I wanted to reread this particular saying because it's just so powerful. And is that we cannot just devour and ask and become more and more greedy. And our eyes, what they say, your eyes get bigger and bigger. They sometimes, people say that your eyes are bigger than your stomach. You see all this food, you want to eat, but your stomach can't take it all, and you have any room in your stomach for the food. It was also said, during the miserliness, it was mentioned that Aisha, she mentioned that one of the ladies said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, Abu Sufyan," meaning one of the Prophet's companions, "is a miser, and he does not give me what is sufficient for me and my children. Can I take of his property without his knowledge?" The Prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, said, "Take what is sufficient for you and your children, and the amount should be just and reasonable." Meaning that if a man is miserly, a woman can go into his wallet, a Muslim woman can go into his wallet and take from it to feed herself and her family. And also a prophet mentioned, no one hoards but a sinner. And so anyone that hoards, to let you know that you are considered a person who is a sinner. And now open up your Quran and in chapter 9, verse 34, and it says, "O people, O you who believe, indeed many of the scholars and the monks devour the wealth of people unjustly and avert them from the way of Allah. And those who hoard gold and silver and spend it not in the way of Allah, give them tidings of painful punishment." So those who hoard things, money, gold, silver, whatever, let it be known that you will receive a punishment from Allah. Now, since many of those attending this weekly class are now advanced students, I will now open up the Islamic subject. Let you tell me some Islamic subject you want me to do. So you can go to a particular what you would call email, and you can let me know other Islamic subjects you want me to cover. And just go to IslamicFaithInFocus@gmail.com. That IslamicFaithInFocus@gmail.com, and I will consider the topic that you suggest. Thank you for attending today's Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum.